Wonder auf Flux FM und ihr schönes Stückchen Without You gehört am Freitagnachmittag in der Morning Show. Am Nachmittag. Das Duo aus London spielt heute Abend zum allerersten Mal in Berlin und zwar im schönen Gretchen. Jetzt sind Josephine und Anthony, die das Duo ausmachen, aber erstmal bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über unglaubliche Playzahlen auf der Soundcloud-Seite. 20 Millionen habe ich gezählt, insgesamt sind aber an Streams schon über 40 Millionen Dinge angeklickt worden. Von Oh Wonder, das ist richtig verrückt. Wir finden raus, wie überrascht sie selbst darüber waren, als sie feststellten, dass die ganze Welt Oh Wonder liebt. Wir quatschen aber auch über die Wichtigkeit von Deadlines, über den Vibe innerhalb der Band, das Live-Spielen und vieles mehr. Zunächst aber nochmal herzlich willkommen. Welcome to Flux FM, Josephine and Anthony.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hello, welcome, Oh Wonder.
It's good to be here.
How are you doing today?
We're really good.
Cool. We just jumped out of a van.
We came from Belgium.
Sounds really scary, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just jumped out of a van.
Brussels last
night.
Out of
a van that was still running.
Yeah.
For 30 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Oh Wonder, not only known for their great music, but for their stunts as well. Well, congratulations on a debut LP made of hits. There's one hit single after the other. It's a crazy LP. It's been put out here like 2 months ago. And to make that album, I mean, we told the story to our listeners, but we have to tell it again for the few out there who haven't heard it.
Yeah.
You've recorded and produced one song per month to get to that album. It started in September 2014.
That's
crazy. But you've achieved a lot in that 1 year. The LP is ready. There's only hits on the LP. And then how important was having that deadline? How important was making that song per month for you to get to the result that we're listening to right now?
It was integral. Without that deadline, I don't think we'd have an album in our hands. That's why we created the challenge, because we wanted to make sure that Anthony and I both wrote, recorded, released one song a month.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, announcing that to the world, saying every month we're going to do this, it means you have to. So you're forced to do it.
It was an amazing pressure.
Yeah, really
every
good.
Month and more listeners giving you more pressure.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing I love about your music is that you keep it quite minimal. Would you say that this is partly a result of having a deadline as well, because you can't go for the whole wall of sound thing in 3 weeks, you know, because you don't have the time to record all the instruments and to arrange them and stuff.
So we made the whole thing in our home studio.
Yeah.
So it's in a little room at the end of Josephine's parents' house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're limited there of what we can do. And it was a nice working within limits because...
Yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of work your best when you can't just go to a big studio and
record everything.
Yeah. So we did everything.
Yeah, restrictions can be really inspiring, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you've made it. The album is out. It's a great album. There's only beautiful songs on there. It's really great. And I really think it's another... One can feel that there's been another approach to that record in comparison to other bands who'd be like, oh, we have these three or four singles right now,
right.
But now we have to probably make a few more songs, then we got an album, and then they hurry up too much for those few last, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why we did it, actually, because we, as artists, you only get given, you know, three singles to promote to the world. And we were like, that's such a shame, because we were really proud of every single one of the 15 songs and wanted to give it its own space and say, hey, guys, we've written this one song, we'd love you to hear it. And then next month, we've written this one song. So we were really lucky in that we got to promote 15 singles.
I think there's management schools. There's different directions in management schools. One school would be like, the new school people would be like, this is the perfect way to promote music nowadays. And the old school management school, they'd be like, oh, they've done it all wrong.
Yeah, they're never going to sell records.
A month is not enough time to promote a single
and
stuff.
Right?
It's crazy.
So we had to battle that. Halfway through with our managers, and it's like we just stuck with it. So,
it's been a beautiful idea. And then how surprising was the fact, or how surprising was the moment when you discovered that the listener numbers are going up and up and up? Because I've read that you were super happy when the first 60 people were listening to your music. You're like, it's 60 people.
Yeah.
It's like a room full of people.
I know.
It's a small concert already.
It is.
Exactly.
Right. Well, that was in the first hour, I think, of putting up our first song anonymously.
Yeah.
And then it grew to the hundreds of thousands within the week. And now we're talking about tens of millions. And to be honest with you, it's the weirdest thing, and it doesn't really make sense.
No.
And I tell you where it makes sense is in a live setting, when you see a crowd of people.
Yeah.
So tonight in Berlin, when we see 500 people staring at us singing back our songs, that's when it's like, whoa, this music's traveled.
Yeah, and that's another thing that the old school managers wouldn't have let you do, because normally a band is on tour for 2 years.
Oh, gosh,
and then they present themselves to the audiences, and then they go back to the studio and record the songs that have worked on the tour.
Exactly.
You know? So you've done a whole other thing. And an interesting fact is that some people approached you without having seen your concerts, but they've just listened to your music, and then they've approached you and talked about their life situation and stuff, right? I've heard about this guy who came from the States to visit you, and then these things are happening. That's crazy too.
Just people with amazing stories that tie into our music and how our music has helped people, and
it's amazing.
Just beautiful.
It's incredible. Last night in Brussels, a girl was just crying during All We Do, and her boyfriend was struggling to console her because she was just literally, tears were streaming down her face. And you're just like, man, that song must have really affected you in some way and soundtracked some awful part of your life. And that, it's amazing. That's what music's about, right?
Yeah.
It's about being there for people.
Yeah, and I really love the fact that a project
but not making
like,
people
that
cry.
That a band like you, we're here to make you cry.
No, not about that.
Get your handkerchief out of your pocket already. We're here to make you cry. We're all Wonder from London.
Oh my gosh, I wish that was
it. That would be cool. No, and then, you know, with all those numbers and with the millions of people downloading your music, did you get some unethical offers from big players like advertisement companies? Because when the music like yours is working that perfectly, I guess that there's people out there who'd be like, oh, maybe we can sell a product with the music of all.
Actually, no.
Oh, it's good.
No. Or at least no one's told us about it. We're very adamant that we want our music to be music for people and not for anything else. And so maybe no one's just approached us for that reason.
Yeah. Maybe if you've told the guys who are working with you that you're not necessarily wanting to go into that direction, maybe they'd be like, no.
Yeah.
Cling. No. Yeah. Cling. Yeah. Won't do that's the advertising. Really
or they
cling.
Secretly have. And next month our song will be everywhere. I'm a McDonald's advert.
Yeah. That would be crazy. Oh, now what I love about your project is that, or your band, is that the fact is that It's two people making the stuff that they love, and it becomes a success. I love the fact that it's not, you know, this could be a constructed, so many people are trying to construct the music that fits
and
perfectly into the time and stuff, and you've just done it, and I love that.
We've both been playing music for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we haven't tried.
Yeah,
I think.
It was a side project, and we were like, oh, let's just put up some songs. Why not?
Write.
And it's the first time, you're right, that we've never like hired press in and done everything as you know the music industry
and
does
and thought about it too much.
Thought about it. We just didn't think about anything. And I think that's why it works. And I think you can apply that to everything in your life. When you don't overthink something, it's sincere, it's honest, it's natural, and it comes from you, and it's not been filtered through loads of people. So that's important to apply to everything you do.
Yeah,
trust your gut.
Yeah, trust your gut. But I bet that it's going to be a little bit harder to trust your gut for the next recording, because there's so many people out there wanting some music.
It's scary.
I'm sorry.
No.
Let's listen to some more music and then we'll find out more about Oh Wonder hier. Das Stück, das euch sehr bekannt vorkommen dürfte, denn wir haben es hoch und runter gespielt. Oh Wonder mit Live Wire. That's how you tell people that you think that something's nice in Berlin.
Did you say that's sehr schön?
Yeah.
I thought you said, oh, that's a tune.
Well, you speak a little bit of German, though.
Oui, ein bisschen.
Wahnsinn, warum? Woher? Wieso?
No, I can only say one thing.
She's done.
I can only say, ich heiße Josefine van der Gucht. Uh-huh. Ich komme aus England und ich wohne im Blackheath. Das ist ein Stadt in der Nähe von London.
What?
Blackheath finde ich prima. Dort ist viel los. That's all I can say.
That was a lot. That was beautiful.
I don't know what it means, but I can say that.
And there were no curse words in there, let me assure you. I found something that I really liked about your musical upbringing, Josephine. There's
a song
that influenced you to become a musician. I hope. That was so obvious that it won't work. right now because this computer here, it has its problems. But I've listened to Vanessa Carlton again and to her song. Yeah, what a beautiful song that is. And that influenced you to become a musician, right?
Totally, yeah. It was the first time. I grew up playing classical piano as a kid. And every year, my dad would take me to this music shop in town in London. And you could buy the sheet music for all the pop stars.
Oh, wow.
And I used to be able to go and buy like two books every time I went. So I remember I was about 13 or 14 and I went and bought Vanessa Carlton and Norah Jones and I came home and I wanted to play them. But obviously, you know, I had to sing them because they didn't make sense without the voice. Yeah. And that's the first time I started singing and thinking, hold on, these are awesome female musicians that play the piano. They write all their own songs. I should do this.
Yeah,
and that's
cool.
what started me off. Yeah.
Do you remember which artist made you grab the guitar or learn an instrument?
Yes, it was my uncle. He's a musician and he lives in Kansas and he used to come over every summer and play tour in Europe. And every night he'd come home from a gig, stay at my parents' house, and he'd write songs in the middle of the night.
Oh, wow, cool is
that?
And
I'd sneak in when I was 10 years old and just watch. And that just made me want to write music.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a magical thing.
Yeah.
I can imagine that being
and
a magical moment.
He's going to watch our London show next week.
Oh,
so
cool.
That'll be a good moment for me.
Under pressure. Ding, 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 ding.
Absolutely.
Your record does keep things minimal. That's another thing that I love. We've already talked about that. But how do you get those beautiful sounding minimalistic results? Do you actually collect sounds and layers and then get rid of them again?
Yeah, exactly.
Or do you just keep it minimalistic from day one?
So the whole process is basically layering up as many as we can. So we might start a session and layer up 50 sounds on the first day and end up using three.
Okay.
But it's just getting as many sounds as you can so that, you have options and the song can sound so different with different layering, you know?
Yeah, interesting. So. That's an interesting thing because there's so many ways, different ways to get to a certain result, right?
Absolutely.
I've heard that story a lot that it's easier to kind of build up a big sounding sound and then you just kind of like deconstruct it again.
Cool
So putting out a song a month has worked for you. Will you continue to work like that again? Because now the pressure is on. I mean, really.
And I think
it would be a good thing just like to keep being in the flow and stuff.
I think we need to keep writing, but
we need to.
With touring it's going to be hard to do a song a month.
We don't have time to sleep and like let alone write a song. And the one thing I'd love to do is wake up and go for a run, and we don't even have time to do that.
No.
So writing a song seems like an alien thing right now. But one day,
we'll
I think we get
off.
A day off for Christmas.
I've organized the Vanessa Carlton song for the people out there who have forgot about that. It's a backflash into the 90s
right now.
What a piano riff.
Yeah, and look
so
at the
good.
Video. She's been driven around town playing the piano. She looks a bit shitty, though. I mean, it's a bit her.
I loved her.
It's a bit cheesy, though.
I was part of her fan club. I loved it.
Really, I wrote her letters.
Did you?
So many letters.
Didn't write back.
Yeah.
We hate you, Vanessa.
Yeah. You ruined my life.
So tonight's going to be your first Berlin show. What's the live setup going to be? Because I think there's two more people coming with you, right?
Yeah. We have a drummer and a bass player who are both best friends of ours, so we get to travel around the world with them, which is amazing.
Cool. And again, a vibe decision, right? You didn't look for the best bass player in London.
Exactly.
You looked for a friend who's able to play the bass.
He actually is the best bass player in London.
That's a coincidence.
Yeah.
We thought it was more important to have friends on the road.
Yeah.
And instantly we thought of them first. So
cool.
It's
great. So I want to wish you the best of luck for your first Berlin show. People are already freaking out. They're already standing outside the venue and waiting for you, I bet.
Yeah.
We have the allerletzten tickets. We have the very last tickets for tonight's show that we can give away.
Amazing.
Wer also heute Abend das erste Oh Wonder Konzert in Berlin überhaupt miterleben möchte, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück, wer durchkommt, der steht auf der Gästeliste für Oh Wonder. Und die erste Berlin-Konzert heute Abend im Gretchen. I think this was not the last time that we've met. You're going to come back pretty soon, I hope.
Yes,
definitely.
I think we're going to come back in February or March. So.
Yeah, you have to, because this show has been sold out so quickly that there's a few people out there that still didn't have the chance to get the tickets, so you have to come back.
We will.
Cool.
I'll
see you then.
Thank you.
Thank you for visiting. Have a great day and have a great show tonight. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.